Welcome to the MBG podcast.
Let's fire everybody.
All right, welcome everybody. Episode number 67, the Message Board Geniuses podcast. This is Hoos. I got Casey, Joy, MBG. Thought we'd kick things off again this week with a little NCAA tournament discussion. We're through two rounds of the tournament so far, so the Sweet 16 is set. What have been y'all's favorite moments or biggest takeaways so far? Been a bunch of stuff going on, obviously.
I think my biggest takeaway is the fact that Clemson's in the Sweet 16, and I feel no kind of way. It's weird.
Matt, rumors of the ACC's demise were greatly exaggerated, it appears. They looked very good. Surprising.
Yeah, 8-1.
To some, yeah.
It's four teams in 16? Yeah,
four teams.
Four out of the five. Of course, we're the only ones who didn't hold up our end of the bargain. So the ACC didn't start off very well. But, I mean, people, this happens every year, I feel like. I mean, you had John Rothstein saying a month ago, we might only get two bids. And remember thinking it's ridiculous because every year I feel like ACC has the most teams or at least, you know, biggest percentage in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight. I think I read somewhere that in the last 5 years, we've had nine different teams in the Sweet 16. So it's not just Duke and North Carolina. I mean, it's a deeper league and it seems to come out during the tournament. So yeah, that was one of my biggest takeaways is it seems to happen every year and it doesn't change the narrative for some reason, but who knows? Maybe next year it will. Excited about your boys, though.
Yeah, not even that it doesn't change the narrative. Like what they do every year is they re-rank the Sweet 16, right? And you have, again, Clemson 16th. They won two games as underdogs. But even further, these little offshoot Twitter accounts, you talk about ACC slander, I guess. They rank the Sweet 16 coaches. And you know who's 13, 14, 15, and 16? All four of the ACC coaches.
He had Hubert Davis that low?
Yep.
He had Hubert Davis at 13. Shire at 14. Brownell at 15. And Keats at 16. I don't like Kevin Keats at all. I think he's atrocious. He came from the high school ranks to UNC Wilmington for a minute and then went to NC State. Like, I just don't think he's a good coach. What he's done this last 3 weeks is amazing. So the fact that they put him 16th, I mean, fine, put Brownell 16th. I don't care about that. Like, that doesn't hurt me. But to have all four of them that way, and then Myron Metcalf was fighting with one of the radio hosts for Clemson Local today on Twitter and then said, it's not football, relax, because he lost the argument. It's just so funny that they're doubling down now on the ACC slander because they've said it all year. So how can they possibly say, you know what, we were wrong?
And the Big 12, by the way, I think the ACC was 11-3 or 12-3 against the Big 12. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember how many teams they got in, but they have two in the Sweet 16, right?
And they, just like the SEC, they had very advantageous seeds, too. They're not coming in. We'll talk about the Mountain West in a minute, but the Mountain West coming in at all 10, 11 seeds, trying to beat 5, 6, 7 seeds. Mm-hmm. But the Big 12 and the SEC, they're, you know, they're coming in at 3, 4, 5 seeds, getting much more advantageous matchups, and they're still losing.
Yep.
Don't get me started on him having Ricky Barnes from Hickory, Ricky from Hickory, at 9th, too, and he's got Nate Oates at 4. Yourself. Everyone knows I love Rick Barnes.
Hey, Casey.
Who do you have at 1?
Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah, I
feel
like that's fair.
Yeah, I think the top three are okay. I think it's Sampson, Mark Few, Dan Hurley. You could probably intersperse any one of those three. That's fine.
But Mark Few seems
Brian
high.
Dutcher at 5, 6.
Having the four ACC guys, the bottom four, is just wild. I mean, that's, you know, we can't.
It's
for
just
having
that, a little better. If you're,
I mean, Hubert Davis won a national championship.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
How is he at 15?
How do you have Hurley, who lost three of his five starters from last year and brought an as dominant as possible at 3? I mean, he's still the champ.
Yeah.
I don't know. TJ Otzelberger? with fries. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know who the hell that is.
MBG, we do have to talk about the Mountain West, right?
Sorry.
Well, I mean, I kind of said my piece there. You got two wins, obviously San Diego State and Utah State won opening rounds. Nevada is the one that really blew it. I mean, they're up 17 with about 6 minutes to go.
They blew it.
Fell apart.
Yeah.
I feel like if they pull that out, the Mountain West, that's a decent showing, winning half your games. And then, you know, San Diego State's in the Sweet 16.
Yep.
Now, they beat UAB and Yale to get there, but they're still there for the second year in a row. You know, Utah State got a bad matchup with Purdue. I'll tell you, I do not know. Oh, let me preface it by saying I know that Utah State could play Purdue 10 times and they would not win not one time. But the way that they officiate Zach Edey is extremely frustrating, and I do not know how anybody beats them with the way that he's officiated. I mean, it's so frustrating. And we lost by 40 points, so that's not what cost us the game by any stretch. But, I mean, our one big guy got two fouls in 3 minutes. Some guy comes in for him, gets two fouls in the next 2 minutes. So 5 minutes in, you got your two centers with each on the bench with two fouls. And at that point, there's nothing you can do. And he travels every time he touches it. He fouls everybody every time. And they call a foul against him every time. It's just frustrating. But one win is about, you know, at this point, I'm happy with that, I guess.
Tell you my other favorite thing to come out of the first two rounds is that dude from Oakland just going nuclear against Kentucky. And then immediately cashing in and filming NIL spots in a hotel ballroom. I don't know if you all saw those, but it was fantastic. They were so cheesy. Yeah, they were so awesome.
Did you see his shot chart for the year, by the way?
Yep, he only shot like 8 non-3-pointers, right? Something like
that. Yeah, and if you saw it, there was like, I think there was 9 non-3-pointers, 8 were layups, and then for some reason there was some shot from the elbow. Like, I would love to see how that happened. Like, what was the – how did you one time he gets a shot from the left elbow?
Right. And the degree of difficulty on those threes that he hit against Kentucky was just completely insane. They were all, like, falling away, like, drifting to the side. It was so much fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Tolkien.
Yeah, it was a fun game.
All right,
it was a fun opening week.
Yeah, man, it was a little bit chalky. I felt like in the second round, the first round was as crazy as ever. The second round was a little bit more chalky, but I think hopefully we'll have some fun stuff happen here in the next round. And Casey, I'd love to see you guys. You guys have Arizona, right?
Yeah, and what's his name, Caleb, to transfer from
Love that
transfer. Love transfer from UNC. He was a Clemson killer when he was at North Carolina. So to see him on the roster and leading that team with averaging like 22 points a game, I'm a little worried about that. But yeah, they've been playing great defense.
If you get bad Caleb though, he can shoot you out of game just absolutely as fast as he shoots you into one. So
we've seen that too.
Yeah, y'all definitely have a shot against them, I think.
Got to keep if we ever get PJ Hall versus Zach Edey, PJ Hall might as well just not even suit up because he'll be fouled out within a second.
Yeah,
the kid played like 7 minutes. He's our All American. He played 7 minutes the other night in foul trouble.
Oh, I didn't realize
he played that played. Little. Yeah, he was terrible. He wasn't terrible. It was terrible.
All right, so I'm sure we'll revisit this again next week. But, yeah, the tournament's always so much fun. So, Casey, I'll be rooting for you guys. All right, Appreciate it. Up we have our mailbag question. This week's question comes to us from friend of the podcast at FSU Two Times, who asks, assuming you haven't already done so, if you're going to create a username on your team's biggest rival message board, what would it be? Casey, I feel like you have a built-in advantage here, given who your biggest rival is.
Yeah, FSU Two Times, one of my absolute favorite FSU accounts to follow, but that list is probably at about 1, maybe 2 deep. I appreciate the question, and there's no doubt that FSU Three Times would be a banger of an account, but with a rival like ours, how can I avoid the many different ways I can put cock and lover together? I can add 6'9" in the middle or at the end. And if any of those are inevitably taken, I can change the spelling of lover to put a U instead of an O. maybe even just go with the oft-used LVR for Lover. I guess what I'm finding out while running my mouth incessantly is that the possibilities are endless. Now, I understand it's not the most creative, but again, this is my rival school. Heck, their mascot is a gamecock. It's like the work is already half done for me, and I'm just juvenile enough to capitalize it. Thanks for the question, two times.
Can do cock boy, of course, B-O-I.
B-O-I.
All right, Joy, what do you got?
I struggle with this because I'm just not creative, but I'd probably do something like signed with blood, number two, like because they just worship Johnny Manziel and they're obviously a cult. I'm convinced you have to give some type of sacrifice when you decide to go to school there. So something along those lines. So yeah, something along those lines. Anything that I can just really highlight their cultism, I would do that for sure.
So Joy, was that an admission that Texas A&M is your rival?
I feel like it's
her personal rival.
I mean, yeah, it's literally me versus the Aggies since 1994. So.
All right, MVG, what do you got?
This will be good.
Well, mine would probably be on the BYU board, but I mean, I feel like you can't not use the number 69. I figured everybody would have the number 69 in their board game. So mine would probably be something like Super Soaker 69 or something like that.
All right, you win. Yeah,
I have a feeling I'm going to laugh a lot on this episode.
Yeah, that was a mic drop right there. I don't want to have to go now. Mine sucks. Yes, I struggle with this one. I do like having the 69 in there. So, but so I guess I'm going to be empty trophy case 69 to be, you know, the easiest one, the lowest hanging fruit. The one just based on today that would make me laugh is, again, the 69 that Kenny Brooks to Kentucky 69, because Virginia Tech is having a rough time dealing with their women's basketball coach going to Kentucky. And, you know, I mean, the running joke now is they're going to have to stop pretending to care about women's basketball because they're going to start sucking again. But I do feel kind of bad for them because they came close to their first natty a year ago. And I think they had a chance to make a run this year. And then their All-American center tore ACL. So that does suck. But my favorite cope I saw today on the timeline was a Virginia Tech fan saying, "Hey, maybe we can bring Dawn Staley home. She's already won enough at South Carolina." I'm like, bitch, first of all, she's not going to Virginia Tech. And also, that's not home. She went to, like, there's zero chance Dawn Staley is going to Virginia Tech. So anyway, the other thing that made me wonder is if I was a Virginia Tech fan, I think Brent Pry Snug Jeans would be my username because
Brent Price still, Hog?
Yeah, Brent Price Hog, yeah. Either of those would be good.
MBG, we had conspiracy theory guy plus flight tracker guy all at once today on Twitter itself. It was amazing because they were talking about Clemson hired Coach Poppy to coach their women's team, but he's a former Virginia Tech assistant. So I got hit with because I knew that there was a board of trustees meeting today at 3:30. But I got hit with the flight tracker information that I didn't know what I was talking about because there was a flight from Chattanooga, which is where Coach Poppy's coming to Clemson from, to Roanoke. Mm. But it was shot down, not the plane, thankfully, the rumor. And Clemson got their guy, and Virginia Tech is going to option number two. I didn't suck it, Virginia Tech. Yeah.
This was like a very aggressive show.
Oh, just wait. Just wait till my genius of the week. I'm pissed.
All right. Speaking of which, that brings us to our next segment, Genius of the Week. As always, each of us is going to nominate a player, coach, team, conference, someone who did something particularly dumb in the last week. We'll put it to a Twitter vote and see who wins. For our last vote, Joy's nominee, Shohei Ohtani's translator, won in a landslide. This might be the biggest vote total we've ever had, 82% of the vote.
Wow.
Followed by Casey's nominee, Twitter poll vote buyers with
not the losers.
MVG's nominee, Zhang and Lau, came in third with 5%.
Wow.
And third.
Nominee, Big Bad Brad 32, finished in fourth with 4%. So I'm in the lead with 24 wins, followed by Joy with 14, Casey with 12, Courtney with 1, MBG still on 0. MBG, you're now 0-51. For reference, in January of 2009, the New Jersey Institute of Technology Highlanders basketball team snapped an NCAA record 51-game losing streak, knocking off Bryant University 61-51, resulting in a headline that read, NJIT win snaps 51-game drought. Is the apocalypse near? So once again, MBG, you're in fine company.
I am.
All right, Casey. You guys are going to have to last week. So who do you have this week?
We did. You guys are going to have to excuse my slight break of character here. There's an epidemic that just recently started rearing its head into my world, and it's not MBG's losing streak in the Genius of the Week competition. Nope, it's the growing hatred for the NCAA's all-time leading scorer in all of college basketball, Caitlin Clark. We have such a way as a society of tearing down the heroes of American sport, and I'm not sure why that is. Just today, I was sifting through numerous tweets and threads about how awful a person Clark is because she argued a call or missed a shot or was pissed off at a teammate or was yelling at somebody. You know what, America? Caitlin Clark is an all-time great and a generational talent. Now, yes, we do throw out that phrase all too often. However, in Clark's case, it's absolutely true. It's really an issue for women's sports, if we're being honest. But I need to revert back to my goof role and get off my sandbox. Is that the right box? With that phrase? Probably not. Anyway, I'm just tired of people that have never watched a single second until after Clark set all the records and now are experts in women's basketball critiquing her every move. You know what? She's a competitor, as is Angel Reese, Juju Watkins, Camila Cardoso, among many others. And if you don't know who those other three names I said right there are, you really shouldn't have an opinion about Caitlin Clark. So for that, all the Caitlin Clark haters who have watched approximately one quarter of women's basketball, that's right, women's college basketball plays quarters, not halves, this season, are my geniuses of the week. Whew.
It's that pissed wild me off to today, me how much she gets. Yeah, she's fun as hell. I mean, all of those players you just named are fun as hell to watch. So, yeah, it's a little – the hate is weird.
I had to look them up.
I will say I saw the ratings for some of those women's college basketball games, and they're insane. Like
they're fun as heck, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean the LSU Iowa game last year didn't that, like outdrew the men's championship game by millions, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm
pretty sure.
And before the fight happened, that LSU South Carolina game, both times they played this year, it was fantastic too.
Yeah. All right, Joy, you going to start a winning streak here?
Probably not. I'm just going to be realistic.
Love the confidence.
My genius of the week is Kentucky basketball for a multitude of reasons. One, because they just consistently do less with more. But specifically in their game while they were playing Oakland, they actually forgot how many free throws Oakland was shooting and jumped and knocked the ball out of bounds to give Oakland another time of possession, as if Kentucky needed to help out Oakland in any way, shape, or form. It was almost just like Kentucky just forgot where they were and the level of game that they were participating in, and which is just so on brand for Kentucky in the postseason. And I just think Calipari is a complete joke, but y'all can enjoy him next year since it was announced he's coming back. So for that, Kentucky basketball is my genius of the week.
Yeah, that was a bad loss.
That was hilarious. I loved every minute of it.
I think a lot of people had them Kentucky going
pretty sure far. Was you last week that was like, they get hot, they're going to go on a run. And I was like, please God, don't let it happen. And obviously, I'm his favorite because he answered my prayers.
But like MBG put out a poll earlier today, does anybody care about your bracket? The answer is no or absolutely not.
Right. Like talking about your fantasy football
team. You only think that if your bracket's crappy. My bracket is still wonderful. So,
what's funny about that is I just about said, yeah, I had Kentucky going all the way, and then I remember I put that poll out there, and I probably shouldn't mention my bracket since
I did that. Well, that's relevant for the content. I think it's fine if you're making fun of yourself, right? Like, that, it's different if you're like bragging, you know, I'm in like 1 millionth place in ESPN. Like,
because
I was eight million.
Because nobody has just one bracket.
I do.
Right.
Right. Everybody's got four. I was like, oh, yeah, I had UConn winning. Oh, yeah. Well, in one of your 22 brackets, you did.
I just have one bracket. And I'm in second place.
I think you just proved this point, but okay.
Y'all are brutal tonight. I'm so over it.
All right, MBG. Is this the week?
It is, for sure.
All right.
Because this week, I once again, I got to go with one of my guys. My guy, William Hodge. We call him Bubba. William Bubba Hodge. He was down in Florida this week. There was this article that said, a Florida man was charged after being accused of stealing an alligator from a golf course and attempting to throw the reptile on a roof earlier this week, telling officers he was, quote, teaching it a lesson. It says the man who police identified in a Facebook post on the incident as William Bubba Hodge was arrested and faces five charges, including animal cruelty, burglary, and possession slash injury of an alligator. Officers from the department said they witnessed Hodge carrying the alligator down a state road. 32-year-old was arrested after he was seen grabbing the alligator by its tail, stepping on it twice, and trying to throw it on the roof of a bar, according to the police report. Officers said on Facebook that the alligator was returned to the management of Congo River Golf, where Hodge claimed to have stolen it after a brief wrestling match. An affidavit reported by the Daytona Beach News Journal said the alligator is worth $300. So for trying to, quote, teach the alligator a lesson and throw it on the roof, my man Bubba, William Bubba Hodge, is the genius of the week.
In a surprising turn of events, no drugs were involved. Or maybe they were.
I don't understand what, I mean, first off, I'm not quite sure what the lesson was he was trying to teach him, but I don't know how throwing an alligator on the roof of a bar is going to teach it any sort of a lesson.
Or what made him want to teach it drugs. A lesson, right? Like, what, I'm just wondering, he saw it in the swamp and was like, you know what?
It was a miniature golf course.
Like, that alligator really needs to learn a lesson. Not even a real
golf course.
That was a miniature golf course?
Yes.
But this way, why did the golf course want it back? Wasn't Bubba helping them out?
What's it doing on their golf course?
They wanted it there. I mean, it's worth $300, Casey.
Like, there's an inordinate number of geniuses of the week from Florida that MBG comes up with here.
I'm pretty sure MBG just scours Florida, man.
Yeah. That's a great account, by the way.
No, that's not right. That's not what I'm talking about.
So my genius of the week is Long Beach State Athletic Director Bobby Smitherin. As y'all likely heard, prior to the Big West Conference Tournament, Long Beach State informed head coach Dan Monson that he was being fired at the end of the season. Long Beach State proceeded to go on a run and win the Big West tourney, putting them in the big dance. It was a fun story. Players rallied around Coach Monson. Monson compared himself to George Costanza at one point. I don't know if y'all saw that interview, because he kept showing up to work after he was fired. The whole thing was like, you know, good fun. But then a couple of hours before Long Beach State tipped off against Arizona, AD Bobby Smitherins decided he didn't want Monson getting credit for the run, telling the AP that this was his plan all along. And this is his quote, "My belief and hope was that by doing what I did and the timing of it, they would play inspired, and that's what they did. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked." So obviously he was 100% patting himself on the back and taking credit for this run that they went on. So for making sure that no decent head coach will want the Long Beach State job, and for being a grown-ass man who goes by the name Bobby, Bobby Smitherins is my genius of the week.
Yikes.
Yeah, that was just such a douche move. Like, he's got no self-awareness because he got just cooked on Twitter, at least. I don't know if it was the same reaction elsewhere, but yeah, I mean, he got it pretty bad on Twitter.
Is that another thing too? If somebody says, "I'm not trying to pat myself on the back," they're normally trying to pat themselves on the back.
Yeah. It's like the message board post, right? Where they say, you know, I know this sounds crazy. They go ahead
hear
and say
me out.
Right. Hear me out.
I'm not trying to offend anyone, but
right.
Yeah.
That's a much better example. You're right.
Yeah.
All right. Before we move on to our next segment, I want to give a quick shout out to CFB Home for sponsoring the MBG podcast. You can find them on Twitter at CFB Home and online at fifthquarter.net. Also, we're doing a couple of cross promotions with other podcasts again this week. The first is with the Sickos Committee podcast. They had a new episode drop today titled Front Gammon, where they discussed Nebraska's new AD, punters with big butts, sumo wrestling, Michael Bolton, and much, much more. We're also doing a cross promotion with the Slander U podcast. They haven't dropped a new episode since our last show, but they have lots of great content from last season, so you can check that out. Also, we give a quick shout out to the podcast Football and Coffee. Casey was a guest on there, what, last night, Casey?
Yeah, I don't even know when it's coming out, but Rob and Craig are two great guys. Rob's actually a South Carolina alum. Craig is a big Georgia fan, lives in Michigan. We talked college football. It was crazy. I actually had to like think about, I knew what I was talking about, but long-winded as always and really, really good guys. So appreciate them having me on.
So make sure to check that one out as well. All right, y'all, we have another great guest lined up for you this week. This week's guest is our first ever three-time guest. He has a new podcast called Fourth and Wrong with his co-host Tyler Huck. And he has a new Twitter handle where you can find him at Vern Funquist CFB. Welcome to the show, Chris Marler.
Yeah. Yeah. Good to be back. You know, I want to say all of you on here, and if Elon Musk is listening, I don't want to kill any of you guys for not calling me back. So appreciate that. Good to be here. Good to be on social media again.
What number of Twitter account are you on now?
So here's the thing this is like, I've had a hard time explaining this to people and not being dramatically embarrassed, but like, because I always say like, yeah, well, this is my job, so I'm like pretty good at it. This is number four. This is number three personally. This is my third one personally, and I forget that I lost the SDS account because in 2020, I made like a full-on, like 230,000 person account. I made a meme of the Chippendales SNL skit and put like right before the season, and I put like the SEC on Patrick Swayze and then the Big Ten on Chris Farley. And 5 months later, the account got shut down because of like a cease and desist from like the recording label or whatever it's called. I don't know. Yes, yeah, so number four. Lucky number four.
Let's keep this one.
No chance, bro. No chance.
The last one you'd had for less than a year, and you'd already pretty much caught me a follower, so I feel like I've got a good lead on you again. So,
yeah, so that's not the benchmark I'm going for, just to be very clear, is catching you and followers. But I do appreciate you telling your listeners where I'm at, because I'm sure they get that.
All right, man. Well, tell us about the new podcast.
Yeah, so it's called Fourth and Wrong. We'd been doing College Football Uncensored for a number of years, me and my co-host Tyler Huck, and, you know, have agreed to part ways with our good friends at Blank Down South. And, you know, we've had a really, really good time kind of going on our own and doing our own thing. And it's like, it's funny because I always tell people it's like nervous going on and starting your own thing, as you guys, I'm sure, know, starting your own podcast. But when you're receiving the same amount of like resources and input now as you were when you were working for a company, it makes you feel better. And things have been awesome, man. It's actually gone over really well so far. We're like three episodes in. Yeah, we had Drew Butler on the last one, and it's just been, I always say that if you like college football and you love, if you hate the bleep button, you love college football, you'll love the show. So
if you hate the bleep button.
Yeah, I messed up my own slogan. Let's run that back real quick. If you love college football and you hate Casey, you'll love the show.
That's a great tagline.
Yeah.
I want that shirt, MBG, if you can make that one up.
This one?
Yeah. Somebody explain what Marler is wearing right now.
There is times that this podcast needs to be a video medium, and tonight is the case because
yeah.
Chris has overalls on with his name spelled K-R-Y-S on it like an A&M yell leader, and it is glorious.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So if I go the worst on, part about this is that I bought these at like 2 or 3 years ago, and they're like size like 2X, and they're not as loose as they used to be. Like, this has been a wake-up call of all wake-up calls to get my ass back into Planet Fitness like Jimbo Fisher.
They don't make 2Xs like they used to.
They don't.
I got some bad news for you, buddy. It doesn't get any better from here.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. I mean, look at the three. Well, MBG's in good shape. Look at me and Casey. Yeah. This is what you have to look forward to.
Enjoy. She's doing hang cleans on the TL again, which is nice.
I'm trying. I'm working real hard.
I was just giving you. I wasn't really impressed by it at all. Very lightweight. Those CrossFit weights are like, they look big, but they're not. They're like the opposite of me. You know what I mean?
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
All right, man. So before we get to the message board post, you kind of know the drill here. We're going to go around, each of us ask you a question and just let you cook. Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Casey, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, this is old hat. Now, Chris freaking Marler, our first three-time guest on the MBG show. We have not even had a second two-time guest, but nice. It's almost as many times as how many times Twitter has banned your account. How many different ways can we type Vern Funquist? A question that we never asked, but we currently know the answer is three, or is it four? I think you just said four, so my script is way off. All right, all joking aside, we're so happy you're back with us, especially since the last time we had you on, you were gainfully employed by Blank down south, but have since separated from them, despite being the sole reason that site is on the map. But it was nice to see you land on your feet with the enigma that is Tyler Huck. Why do you protect him from us? Seems selfish, really. But I'm pretty sure MBG requested Tyler, but here we are with you again. Fourth and Wrong is back up and running. It's really a great show, truly, with two of you.
Yeah.
I'm still dumbfounded as to how SDS didn't want their most likable talking heads gone, but that leads me to my question. You are the current leader. This is my shortest one yet. You are the current leader in the clubhouse with 47 bleeps in a show. And yes, I did count them. Can we expect 50 or more tonight?
47? First off, that question is longer than any episode of Fourth and Wrong we've ever recorded.
I did when you were doing the minute and a half ones.
It's last time I was on here, I think it was after the Georgia-Florida game, and you read what was basically the Count of Monte Cristo and then asked me a question. So this was similar to that. Nice. I don't know what the question was in there. I will start by saying
it wasn't really one.
Okay. I appreciate what you're saying, all the stuff about the SDS stuff. It was a great time there. But sometimes I think that when you're in an industry where you have sold yourself to just getting people to sign up for gambling affiliate links, the content kind of goes out the window. And that's something we're seeing in a lot of college football and sports sites anyway. So best of luck to Saturday up north and all that kind of stuff. I hope it fails tremendously, and best of luck to everyone there. Anyway, the question, 47 F-bombs. So that's what's wild is I remember we did a video that I went viral for Georgia fans. It's one of the few reasons why some of them still like me before the Tennessee game. And it was a 2 minute and 32 second video, and I think I dropped 23 f-bombs in the 2.5 minutes. That's so amazing. I mean, I've been trying to censor myself since I'm growing up and maturing, as you can tell from my wardrobe. So hopefully not as many as 47. Depends on how Joy's attitude is.
Well,
I love pushing the blame on Joy already.
Looking at Joy, it looks like you're going to hit 50 easy. But
speaking of Joy, what do you have for Marler?
I want to be so rude, but I'm not going to be. Okay.
No, you can be rude.
I am emotionally unstable at this moment, and you're going to come back at me, and I'm going to cry. So we're not going to do that tonight.
Listen up, folks. Did you hear what she said? If you're on Twitter and you come for me, take Joy's advice. That's the best way anybody could have put it.
Obviously, we're in the middle of March Madness. How much further do you think Alabama is going to make it in this tournament?
So it's Tuesday at 10 p.m. We're recording this. So I'd say roughly 48 more hours. It's great. What's wild about this is I didn't think they were going to beat Grand Canyon the way that game was going, because it was so miserable to watch. That was the most disjointed basketball game. It was awful.
It was bad basketball. It was bad basketball.
Yeah. It was really bad basketball. And who knows all about that? So I did a nerdy deep dive on the fouls and the free throws from each game in each region, and it was wild to see the difference of disparity of what was going on in Spokane. So back to your question about how far can they go? I don't see them beating UNC, but even if they beat UNC, they're going to play an Arizona team they've already lost to, and they have to play out in LA. So it's not like a lot of Bama. What? I'm pulling for you, Casey. I bet on you guys' money line the last game. I was all over it.
Awesome.
I mean, I didn't, but I did throw out the pick on Twitter. So I'm not gambling anymore. But anyway. No, so I think that they like I kind of assume this is one of those games where it's like, yeah, UNC is like how does Bama defend UNC inside at all? Like, I have no clue. Yeah, well, you don't get about it, MBG. I don't see you shaking it up. But what's wild is I
get it. Because his team lost already.
And well, all your teams lost besides me and Casey, so it's like, we get it.
Basketball blue bloods.
Make it. And women's doesn't count because it's...
My team was never in.
Well, I know, but your women's team, if they can manage to get through games without getting beat up or starting fights like they always do, I can't wait to watch them lose to Caitlin Clark. So I think Bama can stay in it, but them being a 4-point underdog and then ESPN BPI saying they're favored to win, that's like the last thing Bama fans needed was hope. Just that and more sugar. You know what I mean?
All right, man. So I have a related question. I was wondering, I know, you know, obviously you're a big Bama fan. In the pantheon of crushing Auburn losses, where does their loss to Yale rank for you?
Okay, so
great question.
I saw this question, and I feel like it is a good question. I feel like I'm also too jaded of a fan. I pride myself on trying to be as objective as possible as a fan and like doing this for work. But like, I'm just too jaded of a fan to feel sorry for Auburn or the way they lost. I thought it was I thought the way that they lost, the fact that they should have never been in Spokane, they should have never been a 4 seed. The fact that CBM gets kicked out of the game 3 minutes in, there's all like if you watch the game again, the fouls, there were 59 free throws in that game and 44 total fouls. There were the Alabama and Auburn game in Spokane had more fouls than any other first round game in the entire country. Auburn had 25 fouls, which was more than any other team in the first round. In the first round of the tournament, crushing losses. Like, do they have crushing losses? Like, every time I see Auburn, I see them talking about the kick six. I see them talking about like all these. It's just different down there, and also like they deserve to have many, many more miserable losses just because of what happened in 2013. And I hope they pay for it forever.
That was just my way of trying to get you to bring up us beating them in 2019. So you know
in what. Basketball. You know, like what is wild about that is y'all should have lost that game and you end up winning a natty about it. And like
yeah, we should have lost 3 games in that tournament.
But, dude, and Auburn going up to that game had beaten Kansas, Kentucky, and who else? UNC. And then they go play Virginia and this like and they're oh yeah, it's I wish that it was different for them. I don't. They deserve everything that happened. If they get beat by a bunch of white kids that are going to end up being, you know, working for Ernst & Young next year, it's amazing.
It's beautiful. It's like our kicker.
All right, MBG. What do you have for Marla?
Well, I think on one of your prior visits, you told us, and this obviously is a recurring theme with you, that you had been actually kicked off the Alabama message boards at one point in time. So I don't know if you have revisited the message board since being exiled, but I was wondering if you have in your experience on the message boards, a favorite conspiracy theory. I love a good conspiracy theory on the message boards.
Yeah.
Do you have one that you've seen that sticks out to you?
So first off, the way you phrased it, now it seems like I'm the problem. And I'm realizing I'm processing this in real time. But this was like 2010 when I got kicked off. And I was 1,000% at fault. I should have gotten kicked off. Favorite conspiracy theory. I think one of my favorites was like this. And this is like not as great as some of the other ones. Like because there's stuff that you'll see of like why a plane is going this way, and this is why this kid's going to be coming to this school, and blah, blah, blah. I remember one of my all-time favorites was Bama got a kicker named Cade Foster, who was a 3-star linebacker from Texas, right? And he turned down other opportunities to play linebacker at, like, UCLA, Stanford, a school in Texas or something like that to play kicker at Bama. And I remember my dad posting, and he's like, this is what makes Saban – better than every coach in the country because he sees the whole field. You know what that is? that's not a kicker. That's an extra tackler on kickoff. And I was like, and then this kid becomes, and he's like jacked. And he's like a, you know, like a big, big kid who's playing kicker. And then that's like what started the era of Bama kickers being awful. Like that's the kid that missed like five field goals in the kick six game. And my dad was like, that is just next level genius. You got a tackler out there on a play that really involves a tackle anymore.
Love it. Don't worry about kicking.
Right. Yeah, I watched a video today of an old game that was on Twitter of him kicking a ball. He kicked it out of bounds twice in the first quarter. But if, I tell you what, if they would return that kick, the tackle that he would have made.
I think that's, right, that's a good one.
Do you have some good posts lined up for us this week?
We do. So we thought we'd run back. We used to do this bit where we'd do meltdown posts. And we haven't done that for a while because after football season ended. But we got some great meltdown posts from the Kentucky fans after they lost to Oakland. You can only imagine. So I thought what I'd do is I'm going to read about five or six meltdown posts from Kentucky fans. And I want you to tell me which one of these is your favorite. I think I kind of know.
Yeah.
Let's
I'm shocked that you're even reading it. I thought you guys would ask me to read it because the graphic language that was in it.
Well, hey, let's give some of these other – keep an open mind here.
I got you.
I mean, the simplicity in some of these might get you. All right, so the first one was – so they're trying to get rid of Calipari, and I think today kind of took some of the we're recording on, Tuesday, and I think they just announced Calipari will be back. But the time these were posted, I think that was still up in the air. So
right. Let's
keep that in mind. So this one is, he says, hire a hitman. It won't cost us $30 million. I'm kidding, mostly. So the next guy says,
what was his name?
Colonel Angus. So the next one is from Bubba Balm. And he says, is Cal intentionally trying to sink the program to buy an island? I thought I heard one of these KSR boys say that they overheard Cal tell his wife, if they fire me, we can buy an island. Conspiracy theory or bone-chilling reality? Who can tell these days?
I can. Bone-chilling reality? The best part about this so far is on the last one is that somebody made their entire online identity after a one-off skit from SNL 23 years ago. That's amazing. This one, like, it starts out with, like, did he want to buy an island? Triggering word right now with still with the Epstein stuff, for one.
Right.
And Diddy. And then two, like, I love that he just casually threw in some sort of, like, slander and libel. By the way, I think I heard some of the KSR boys talking about this. Like, there's any sort of validity to it at all. Wow.
All right. This one is funny, I think. This guy's talking about the buyout deal, and this is the beguiler. He says, if everyone that goes to Rupp pays $1, that buyout gets a lot smaller. I think that buyout's $33
million. It worked at Texas A&M, didn't it? With
He's
the
not
cans.
Wrong. He's not. I tell you what, if everyone pays $1, then Cal can also get a membership at Planet Fitness, just like Jim. $1. Right. What would that bring it down to? I'm not great at math. Is that 32,980,000?
Right.
It's still roughly 33 million.
Right. I feel like you're rounding up, brother. I'm an optimist.
All right. Courtesy Flush says, this is right after the game on Thursday. Would you have sex with your dad if it meant Cal was gone tonight? Interesting question.
I'm not going to answer. That's a tough one for me to answer as Joanna. You know, I would say no because I can't find him. I don't know where he is.
Yeah, you'd have to find him first. So
yeah, it would be like that scene out of MacGruber where he's just like a ghost. So,
all right, this next one is just flat out weird.
Okay, yeah,
this is JMJ.
Because the other ones have been normal.
Normal.
Yeah, I mean, this one he says, can say that I highly recommend watching two small children play with feathers when trying to process a monumental loss. helps one work through the anger pretty quickly. I mean,
Law and
that's just weird.
Okay, I mean, listen, better than f-ing your dad. So
I mean, I guess, yeah. What if conspiracy theory here? We talked about it earlier. What if the person who wrote the one prior to that was one of the kids with the feathers, and then this person was the dad? Just an inception of weird sodomy. That is awful.
Those overalls are really affecting the way that you're thinking. You're really starting to think like an
actor. So you're still here. Okay, good. I appreciate that. That's very true.
All right, so here's the last one. And
yeah, this one's a dandy.
This one might be one of the better message board posts that I've ever seen. And look, there's some of it I'm just going to tell you right off the bat. There's some of it I'm not going to read. You can go on the account, find it yourself. I think I retweeted it out tonight because it was apropos of what was happening.
Can I ask you a question real quick? Did you highlight this?
Well, that's just so I don't read the wrong stuff, Morgan.
I was just trying to figure out the origin of the highlight because that is...
No, that's my doing. I'm just trying to make sure I don't pull a Ron Burgundy here. So this one says, and again, this is an edited version. Cal, you fraud. You got handed the gold standard and turned it into the brown standard. You SOB, DVD, GED, LMNOP, FU.
That's pretty good.
You one tourney win having in the last 5 years. Couldn't coach your way out of a bag made of air. I would give a pretty penny to any basketball Benny to replace you. You garbage juice and get bent over by Bruce. Your butt has been dilated by every SEC coach so much you just hover over the toilet and empty your bowls. I think he means bowels in a millisecond. Your fat ego and body has gravitational pull that affects our shots. You just roll the balls out there because you have none. One and done. You're done. We're done. Your time has come. Get the out.
Okay, I have a lot of thoughts on this.
That reminds me of the Clark Griswold singing Christmas Vacation.
Hallelujah. Holy
okay. That's what I picture.
Can I request that we put it back up there? Because I have a lot of thoughts on this. So I won't say the words either out of respect for you, but it is, I didn't realize until halfway through, and I've seen this multiple times, but halfway through this time that this guy was trying to write what can only be described as the most mentally unstable haiku of all time. And
Dr. Seuss meets Pornhub.
Yes, yes, but the angriest anger bang of all time. Also, shout out to, we should have seen it coming because his name is Big Blue Goo, for one. What's amazing is you were like, all right, listen, I'm only going to read part of this because some of it's too bad for your ears, right? And this guy writes out guzzling. That's like the fifth word in the entire thing. But he had the decency to not spell f- with a C. Like, that's where he drew the line. He called him a guzzling blank for brains. The wannabe Italian part was weird, for sure. And then said he everywhere in this entire thing, he censored himself on the F word. So bravo. That is not how that works, but I mean.
So good.
That's like the verbal version of, like, I got like two like Big Macs and then a Diet Coke, but that's like with his words and cuss words. That's all he's doing.
So I take it that was your favorite one out of the bunch.
Without a doubt. The length of it. The sheer, like, the kids and feathers thing needs to be like 1,000%. There's going to be a Dick Wolf executive producer episode of Law and Order in the UK on that at some point. That is so wrong.
All right. So on that same note, Vanderbilt at one time was looking for a coach. I think they settled on a coach. I think they hired Obyington from James Madison. Mm-hmm. But on their board, they were looking for a coach. And this guy, Bex4VU, he said, sign me up for Cal or Wade. I like my coaches the way I like my women. Only the very best with just the right amount of dirty. So, Chris, how do you like your coaches?
The picture he found of of David Beckham to make his profile picture is unbelievable. Yeah. Side note, and I don't know if they listen to this podcast, but the person that I've been interviewing with most recently runs this site, and I don't know if he has seen this, but that is, I mean, that's a great line. It would be less creepy if he didn't have David Beckham like
staring.
Yeah, that is the weirdest. How do I like my coaches? Unretired and with Kirby Smart as a defensive coordinator.
So a lot of dirty. Mm-hmm. Is the way you like them.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of dirty, how about these little Ricky Pitino to Louisville rumors?
Oh, little it. Rick. That, I mean, that's got to be Louisville's like eighth choice.
I'm so excited, though. It's going to be so awesome.
He doesn't even have a winning record in the Mountain West. It is
it's a good conference, play. Though.
It is. I don't know if there's some sarcasm there.
No,
I'm having trouble. I don't know if you're patronizing me.
No.
Or what?
We know our guest.
Feeling to have. That happens a lot to me when I like give somebody a compliment. They're like, okay, well, I can't tell if you're trying to tell me to eat or die or if you're just actually saying I look pretty today. I'm like, all right, well, sorry, mom.
I'm excited for MBG to throw down with a guest for the first time.
The funniest thing I saw about the cow thing maybe was somebody on Twitter said, honestly, I think Kentucky should go after the St. John's coach, and I that was the best thing.
There were a lot of posts on their board, both Louisville and Kentucky. There was lots of posts on those boards about wanting bit older Pitino, little Pitino.
He is aging great.
It would be funny if he went to either of those schools. It would be hilarious.
He looks like the underside of a scab. Like his skin is. Tough.
Who even thinks of that?
Casey's not gonna be able to catch his breath with.
You can't just build Casey.
No, I mean, he does.
I'm just trying to rejuvenate Marlo's stand-up career. That's all. I'll be in the front row.
Thanks, man. I wrote something last week. It's about why God hates dogs. I've sent it to multiple people. I think I might have sent it to Hoos like months ago. Actually, it wasn't last week. But yeah, the responses were. That's so, and then after they were like, but also funny, like, also funny, don't kill yourself.
All right, this next post is for Casey, it's from Clemson Tiger Net.
It
does sound like humble servant with a nice little mini horse, as your
it's long winded
PFP there. Yeah,
you watch a bunch of mini horses play with feathers.
So he says, will we be welcomed with acceptance or jealousy in the SEC? It's going to be interesting the impact we'll have on the conference championship, and we'll get the SEC ratings curve too as an advantage too. It's going to be sweet getting the top seed because we beat other SEC teams. Dabo has built this current team knowing change is coming. We are going bigger on the OL, on the offensive line, to be able to handle the bigger SEC defensive tackles on two or three of the best teams, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, and Texas. It's going to be cool to kick around the coots and count it as a conference game. So that's my question. Is Clemson going to be welcomed with acceptance, or are you all going to be jealous of Clemson?
Several things here.
See, none of the above.
UGAA is a tremendous troll. Tremendous. On the weekend, they got yet another DUI. UGAA is like tip of the cap, dude. Tip of the cap, whatever, cherished moments, whatever that guy's name was. Whatever, dude. It's like that dude, humble servant, after putting the prettiest of mini horses I've ever seen. The thing that triggers me the most out of this, and the only thing I could think of, was Joy, you're gonna have a hard time with this one as an LSU fan to figure out who you hate more from a cult standpoint between A&M and Clemson, because Clemson is like A&M light.
No, Clemson fans have only ever been very nice to me when I went to Clemson. I enjoyed my experience. And there's not some random Clemson man who doesn't follow me but finds every tweet I've ever said about Clemson and tends to respond to. So
yeah.
I'm always going to be a little bit more kind about Clemson than I am about that cult in college.
I'm gonna start a Clemson message board called Willie Lucci just for you. But the other thing that triggers me about this, and this is the nerd in me that's going to come out, and Casey, you might be able to speak a little bit to this. I did a deep dive on this 2 years ago, and I need to update it still, but that whole thing about the offensive line play, if we're actually talking about football for a second, like the offensive line that Dabo has ever recruited is across the board trash. Like, it's very seldom ever had any five stars. They've only put, I believe they've only had one or zero first round offensive linemen in the entire time he's been there. And the highest draft pick they've ever had was a second rounder. Like, they do not develop talent on the offensive line. They're going to be in huge trouble if they come to the SEC, especially with the cussing. Can't be praying before games, Casey, and then rush to the field after you beat Vanderbilt. You're like idiots.
Matt Luke. That's it. That's all I got.
Come on, Matt Luke. Matt Luke, former head coach, Ole Miss football. That's right. My best impression, hands
he's
down.
Changing, he's changing the world. We're in the top six for the top three offensive linemen. We won't get any of the three because we don't put anybody in the league.
Fair.
But we'll have 37 defensive tackles that are five stars.
That they've done a tremendous job with that. And they're also all eighth-year seniors.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, they were hurt for the first six. So
yeah. Just a lot of Hunter Froze on the defensive end.
So do I sense jealousy then?
Obviously, it's in his voice.
Dude, Clemson. I used to have this regular of mine. He was like the nicest dude in the world. And
regular where?
At Houston's.
Oh, okay.
He ended up becoming my favorite. One of my favorite people. And he would take me to a Clemson game every year. I really hope he's not listening. But we would go to this Clemson game every year, and it was the most fun I've ever had.
All right, a couple more quick ones here. So this one comes from a pit board. Apparently they had signed some two-star quarterback, and there was this guy, the pit boy. His response to that, pit boy. B-O-Y, pit boy.
That's a good name.
He says, yeah, I'll have no issue with him being a second quarterback in the class. Where I'll have an issue is if he was the backup plan. No offense to this kid, but I'm not paying $40 a month or whatever for two-star quarterbacks.
I do need to know if there's someone named the Petorus on the pit message board. That needs to be like that. That I wonder if there's a job I could do for that, just making up message board pun names. Like, that's one of the few things I'm actually good at.
Well, it's funny because that was our question earlier about names that you would take of a rival. So, message board name, same thing.
Yeah. Should ask Marler. The $40 a month, that's like a very real, honest take, I feel like, of what, like, some people, like there's people that I feel like at bigger schools are like, I paid $100,000 for my dealership to get this four-star recruit. The people at like very middling schools, they're like, I paid $38 a month. I leased a two-star player, like a Subaru Outback, and we have done nothing.
I mean, you think you'd at least get like a two-star quarterback in a tote bag for $40. Yeah.
He took his Kia Sorento and didn't even return it.
Like a Nautica sport bag. And I think the only one that gets that, but that's tough.
That's plenty to cover Jimbo's membership there at Planet Fitness. I bet $40 a month is about what he's paying.
Dude, I started working out at Planet Fitness like 2 weeks ago. And the fact that Jimbo was there made me feel so much better and so much worse all at the same time. The pants he's wearing, he's in better shape than I thought.
That picture made my whole day.
I try to think what I would do if I just got $70 million. And going to Planet Fitness would probably be at the bottom of that list.
I wouldn't want to be in public in general. But like, dude, he's gotten $45 million since he got fired in December. $45 million. People forget about this. With the way that contract is structured, he will end up taking home $125.2 million total from that university. That's insane. But like, that's more than that's to put that in perspective. That is more than Ronald Acuna is making for the Braves in his 6-year contract by like several million dollars. And Jimbo is up at a Planet Fitness. That's like watching him. Like, oh, I gotta get groceries. Like, where are you going? Hopefully Publix at least. No. I don't want to wear shoes. I'm gonna go to Piggly Wiggly. I'm on
the hog.
Unreal.
All right, let's close it out with this. I know that you'll take pleasure in this last post here. This is from a guy named Papa Shango from the Washington Board Dogman. He was on a roll. This is just one of his posts. He had several similar posts. He said, like I said many times, Alabama isn't a better job than Washington. I think he meant to say here, it's Saban U. Don't talk about Bear Bryant either. That was before I was born. Alabama is a crap place to live and an overrated job in the new college football world with Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC. DeBoer will fail. Reactions to Papa Shango.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, so first off,
strap in.
I don't know if you've been to Seattle.
I've been
one to Seattle. They have a ton of things that Tuscaloosa doesn't have. One of those things is just open f-ing encampments of heroin addicts out in the wild. Not at all. Not at all. They're also not building mini houses like a f-ing HGTV season for a bunch of drug addicts. That's one of my favorite parts about Tuscaloosa. The other part is, I don't think he's completely off base here. I said this to like a Georgia friend of mine a while ago. I know. I'm like honestly hesitant to say
I'm
this.
I'm telling y'all, the overalls have really gone to his brain.
Joy, think about this though for a second. DeBoer has done really well there so far. And I think he will succeed. I don't know about on the level he did at Washington, which is crazy because in 2 years, it's pretty hard to beat that resume. 25-3, going to a cultural national championship, all that kind of stuff. He's already recruited really well. But if you would, I'd say this a couple months ago, like long term, the sustainability of it, like, do you want to go to Tuscaloosa? I'm a Bama fan. We used to have season tickets. I don't want to go to Tuscaloosa over like Athens, Baton Rouge, Austin. I mean, you know, I think that a majority of this came from like, I don't know, sour soy lattes and grapes. But at the same time, I think it's probably something that's like there's a little bit of truth in there.
But do you think kids care about that at this point, at this stage in college football, or do they just care about, hey, where am I going to get the most money?
Play
at a high level, right?
It's a much better job than Washington. Like Washington, like I feel like. I thought before this round of hiring was a good school. They've lost everyone. Like they've everyone's left. The other part of it that annoys me more than anything, and this is like one of the more triggering things I've like felt about Alabama and the like opposing fans of it for probably a decade. If it's 2024 and you can't f-ing spell Saban, what are we doing? Like how little of football have you watched? It's five letters. Two of them are the same letter. It's got one vowel and it's the same one. It's double dutching in the middle of that word. In the middle of that.
They've only watched football for 2 years.
Also very true.
Call it what it is.
And honestly, once all the Tui Asasopos left Washington, that whole program was you know what I mean? That's like
we're being honest.
They had a bunch of Hawaiian Casey Clausens out there, and then once they left, it was over for them.
I expected a different reaction from you on that post.
Look at that jawline, huh? God, I missed that.
You'd be silly to think if I didn't save that one.
I'm glad you did. It's a great picture of me. Look at it. I wish that I could go back to 2016 Chris now. Also, subtle point about this. Go back to it, Case. This is in 2015, actually. Do you see that I'm not holding up a number one?
No, it's a two.
Did you get third second that year, bitch? So there you go. That was beautiful, beautiful trolling. No one even noticed it.
Well, that's all I've got.
Joy, anything? Or are you? I know you're up past your bedtime. So thank you for kind of joining us. It's been a lot of fun to chat with the other guys and have you monitor it like a sixth grade sleepover. And the mom who didn't make cookies is here. So.
Tell us again about your pod.
I do appreciate your LSU hat that you're wearing tonight. I just want to point that out.
You're welcome. Pod is called Fourth and Wrong. It's back here next to this A&M helmet that I put up on the shelf right next to it. But yeah, it's called Fourth and Wrong. It comes out every Monday or Tuesday. We record it live on usually every Monday. The latest one comes out tomorrow, so I guess Wednesday. I'm not sure when this one's coming out. Casey usually takes a day or two to catch his breath from laughing at me and then also come to the pod. So, no, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a good start to the podcast with me and my co-host Tyler Huck. And you guys really need to get him on at some point. He's hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man.
We will.
We'll do. Thanks for joining Marla. Us.
Thanks,
good
guys.
Good to have you again.
Thanks, brother. All right. That'll do it for this week's episode, the MBG Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. You can check out more content at messageboardgeniuses.com. And we'll see you next time, losers.